What is going on, guys? Matt Downs with Daily Grind Fantasy Sports to talk about best ball. It is our brand new series and game mode on DraftKings, guys. I put on an introduction video yesterday, so if you guys haven't given that video a watch already, please do so. It is going to be in the eye right above me. I'll go ahead and link it, and also in the description. And also, we have a custom playlist specifically for Best Buy. We have about a month and a half till NFL season, assuming that COVID doesn't take over, and it won't, right? We've got to have a positive attitude about this. But all the contests are out on DraftKings right now. On the screen, I have a best ball contest selection. So if you guys are entering into best ball, again, we're going to assume you've already seen the introduction video, but we're going to talk about strategy right now. If you guys are entering into a contest, we just finally sit down at our seat and we start drafting players. What are we going to think first? And also to join me, Kevin is going to talk about that. Kevin, how are you doing?
Good. I'm doing great, man. I'm excited to get into some football.
Yeah, I cannot wait. It's been a long time coming. I mean, we go back to our roots on just fantasy football in general, and this is how it all started. This is how NBA, DFS started. This is how MLB started. It all came from fantasy football. So this is your typical format. We're going to talk about the PPR specifics, just a general strategy. And Kevin, like I said, if we're sitting down and we are looking for, you know, who to take first, what positions are we going to be targeting, what are your general thoughts when we sit down and start drafting?
Yeah, so I'm just looking this over, and there's a couple, like we talked about, strategies and just general thoughts, and I'm just going to kind of paint a broad brush here. But just overall, I mean, we're looking at 20 spots total. We're looking at one QB, two running back, three wide receiver, one tight end, one flex, and 12 bench. So we're going to be looking at, ideally, you want around 2 to 3 quarterbacks. I mean, this is all preference, but generally want to stay in that range. 4 to 6 running backs. I'd say at least 8 wide receivers. There can be a little bit of deviation there, but you want a lot of wide receivers. And then I'd say about 3 tight ends, give or take, whether 2 or even 4 of them if you feel like you're a little weaker in the position. But, that's genuinely how you want to construct your lineup for the most part.
Yeah, because let's talk about this real quick, Kevin. For best ball, it's very different from your standard ESPN formats. With best ball, you take a team. No matter what happens throughout the season, that's your team. So you kind of have to draft that way. You have to draft, like you said, with about 2 to 3 quarterbacks, assuming one does get hurt, God forbid. The same thing with the running back position, wide receiver position. Like you said, there are 2 potential running back positions, which means out of all your running backs on the slate or on your roster, let's say you take 5 to 6 of them, the 2 highest scoring running backs are now they're set into your running back position. They count for the scoring on that day. Let's say 2 out of your 6 get injured, then you're down to 4. So again, it's a lot of management. And because of that, it requires a lot of strategy, a lot of prep, a lot of doing your research before the season starts on who's going to get injured and who's not. Just kidding, you can't really bank on that.
in a certain way
you can. You can look at consistency and all those things which we're going to be touching base on. Another huge topic to cover is the fact that there is no trading waiver pickups whatsoever in this league. So like I said, when you draft this team, that is it. And I really do mean that. You cannot go to the waiver pickups. You can't sub in players from them being injured, or if one player just decides to suck the whole season and they are a bust play, you can't trade them off. You can't do that. It's not like a high risk, or you can't sell them high, buy low kind of thing. You just need to move on from that player and just hope that they pick it up. It really is that. So from a strategic standpoint, Kevin, and I guess we'll go into this topic here. When you're looking at certain players, and I'm not even talking about running back or quarterback or any specific position, what are the key things that you're going to be looking for when taking players?
I mean, just when taking players in general, I think it's important to you want to focus on health. You're not talking specific positions. You're saying in general, right?
Yes. Yep.
You want to look at consistency. Consistency is huge. I like the fact when someone has a higher floor, but also has that boom potential as well. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's important. Yeah, health is absolutely important. You want to also target good offenses, especially if you're going to pick a running back, or we'll get into a sec, but like a running back handcuff combo. I mean, you want to target good offenses that are going to consistently generate good offense and get the ball moving downfield. Sometimes it's smart to target bad defenses. as they're just going to have to consistently move the ball. Obviously, not a running back on a team with a good bad defense, but maybe more so a receiving back or a good wide receiver on a team like that. You want someone who's going to be getting a lot of action. And especially at positions where you're going to have a lot of, like wide receiver, you want some people who are going to be, you can afford a couple people who are boom or bust, you know what I mean? I mean, if you have someone who's going to get you 20 points five times that year and nothing the rest of the time, that's not bad. Mm-hmm. That's not bad, you know what I mean, if you don't pay a lot for them.
Yeah, consistency is definitely one of the most important things to look at when taking best ball players. I'm going to list a couple of guys. We'll go over this in later videos, but guys like Christian McCaffrey, right? Those guys have high floors, and yes, that is obviously the best player that we're looking at, and yes, you should take him number one. There's no questions about it. You talk about high floor guys with also high ceilings, boom potential, but not very low bust potential. So now let's move into more of a position-based conversation, Kevin. So let's say you're sitting down, and your first pick, whether it be 1 or whether it be 12, is on the board. What positions are we going after and why?
So right off the rip, we'll just go into the positions. I mean, I just want to go position by position. We'll talk about quarterback. I personally would wait a little bit at quarterback. I mean, say you take 3 middle-of-the-road quarterbacks, you can just about bank on the fact that at least one of them will clear 20 points just about every week. As long as you're not really reaching out there, you know, if you take, like I said, 3 middle of the road guys, just outside the top 12, I mean, the odds that one of them is going to clear 20 points or at least get close to it is pretty good. And if not, it is also a good strategy to pick one of those guys as someone with good running ability, because it's going to raise your floor up a little bit. I mean, when you have guys like Tyrod Taylor, at least historically when he was on the Bills and stuff like that, like I remember I had Tyrod one year and he wasn't the best quarterback in football, but he also had, because of his legs, he had such a high floor. I mean, he is not a good quarterback, but he would still get at least 15 points every week because of that that run ability. And that's what you want. You do want to have someone, so say your passers aren't getting it done, they run into a stud defense and they're just getting picked off left and right. You don't want to end up with a week where you have Jameis with, I mean, Jameis would be historically someone decent because he's going to have boom or bust weeks, and you can, but say he has a bad week and your backup and your other safety net quarterback has a bad week too. You don't want to be in trouble there. So that's why it's good to have maybe as your third guy, like I said, if you draft 3 quarterbacks, as someone with good run ability to just kind of protect you there.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. Would a quarterback be the number one position you're going after with your number one pick?
Absolutely not. So good. With my number one pick, like I said, I like middle of the road. I mean, if you want to take Lamar Jackson or Mahomes, they're always going to be good. But like I said, I mean, if you have 3 guys, I mean, you only have one, you only have 2 scoring QBs. I mean, one scoring QB. It's going to be one of those things that's like, if you pick 3 middle of the road guys, there's a decent chance one of them puts up Mahomes-esque numbers for the most part. I mean, they might not clear that 30 ceiling that Mahomes will hit sometimes, you know what I mean? But, I mean, on an average, they're not going to be too far behind. Where in running back, that's where I really think you should put your stud money, because there's going to be a lot of deviation there. At running back, it's all quality over quantity. We're trying to get an early running back who is a bell cow with a high floor, like you said, McCaffrey, and big upside as well, as we mentioned. I mean, like I said, McCaffrey, I mean, there's certain talented players like Dalvin Cook and stuff like that, but I mean, you do want to be careful of people like Dalvin Cook for injury purposes and stuff like that, because again, this is so important. There's no trading, there's no waivers, so you really have to be very smart with who you pick in terms of injury prone players like that, you know. But I mean, certain players, like it's PPR, Austin Eckler isn't a bad idea. Derrick Henry always plays through injuries, very tough, mm-hmm. not a bad pick. Zeke plays through injuries. Zeke, yeah, and if you pick Zeke, you can always take, I mean, that's a good offense, good offensive line. You could always take his backup. I think it's still Tony Pollard. You could still take his backup there. I mean, but people like Saquon, coming off a couple injuries. I mean, Alvin Kamara might make me, I mean, Alvin Kamara, where you could take him and maybe take Latavius Murray. He did awesome with Alvin gone. But like where Saquon doesn't really have a great backup, that might be someone I'd want to avoid for that reason. You know what I mean?
Right.
In this, at least, obviously.
So I kind of want to piggyback off your point with the high consistency with running backs and quarterbacks before we move on to wide receivers. And another point I want to touch base on is consistent offenses in general. Teams you don't want to target, and I was kind of joking about this before we got on, but like the Jacksonville Jaguars, for instance, we were looking at a Fournette who's out pretty much half the season, it seems like at this point. Very injury prone, a boom or bust, doesn't find the end zone as much as he should. Definitely an offense that you don't want to target for players, especially in this kind of league where it's all over the place. Yes, you can take some stabs at them later on when you're grabbing some bench players and you think that there's some boom or bust players within an offense. But in general, when you're looking at a Carolina, they're always going to give McCaffrey the ball. No matter what, they're going to try to find opportunities for him. Barkley, obviously, with the Giants, they're going to be giving him the ball. Why? Because they have nobody else. They're going to be handing him the ball. He's going to be getting a ton of touches. Kamara, their offense is fantastic. You should get touches. Cook gets the ball, right? You don't want to look for guys that are literally going to be boom or bust. You want to look for consistent offenses. Yes, Tyreek Hill is a very inconsistent wide receiver, but his offense is very consistent. Therefore, a very good player in this format, because it's PPR, he could easily snap any given week. You want to target consistent offenses, okay, with the combination of also getting those consistent touches, those snap percentages on the field. Obviously, all that plays into the factor of who you should take and who you should target. But yeah, do you have anything to add to that, Kevin?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it covers most of running back and why we want to put so much of our money on running back. But I mean, you can do the handcuff method. You could also try to take four starters. I mean, when you take a handcuff, you kind of hedge your bets. I think it's a smart strategy. It's low risk, not as high of, I don't want to say low reward, but not as high of a reward, because if you have four starting running backs as your four running backs or five starting running backs, I mean, there's always a chance one of your bench RBs goes off. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where if you have a handcuff and he's a backup, probably not going to happen.
Definitely not going to happen, right?
Yeah, so you're really hedging your bets on some of those, but it can be a good strategy. I also think it's smart to throw in a higher floor receiving back, as it is PPR, just to kind of give you that, again, that point floor for your running back. I mean, that's like, we're looking at people like James White and Tariq Cohen that you can usually get a little bit later in rounds, and it's smart to have one of those guys on your bench, and not only best ball, but just all formats of fantasy. They have such a high floor. When things go wrong with injuries, they're a great guy to just plug and play.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree.
But yeah, so moving on to wide receiver, I mean, this is where you should make up the bulk of your draft for sure, and this is where a lot of your middle rounds will go, or like later early rounds to all the way through, I'd say, later middle. The studs are great, especially if you can get your hands on someone as consistent of a high score like Michael Thomas. There's leverage there. There's deviation. Michael Thomas did so much better than everyone else last year. It is leverage. But I personally like to put that kind of stud money into RBs that we just talked about. And the reason for that is there are so many wide receivers in the league who can drop double digits on any given day. The same can't be said for the amount of running backs that can do that. Even in PPR, I mean, there's only a couple of guys who are consistently putting up double digits every single week. Mm-hmm. In wide receiver, there's so many that just have the potential to do that at any given Sunday. So I think it's smart to target a ton of middle of the road wide receivers who are drafted, let's say, outside the top 12, but can still put up top 12 numbers somewhat frequently. And examples of guys like this are like DJ Chark, Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, even farther down the line, Calvin Ridley, DK Metcalf, mm-hmm. guys like that. I mean, I think it's just smart to target guys like that where, yeah, they're going to have their boom or bust week, especially players like Calvin Ridley and DJ Chark. But if you have enough of them, like I said, if you're drafting eight wide receivers like that, you're going to be in a pretty good spot. But if you're going to do that, it's also smart, again, just like running back, to throw some higher floor PPR monsters in there. Grab an Edelman, grab a Jarvis Landry, grab someone who's just going to get a lot of receptions. I mean, those guys are so ironclad in PPR, and you always want to have those guys to kind of hedge your bets a little bit.
Yeah, and keep in mind, you're looking for, I mean, potentially the four highest wide receivers, because again, you have to keep in mind you have that flex spot too. So you're looking for extremely high ceiling guys, and I want to go back to guys like Tyreek Hill, where with the Kansas City offense, obviously could have 40 points in any given week. I mean,
Exactly.
imagine if you're if you have that, especially in a best ball contest when you're competing for the highest score possible. So a lot of the correlated stats come from DFS and over the best ball. You guys just have to think like that. What are going to put you in the best GPP option when selecting these best ball players? But yeah, I think that covers wide receiver. Kevin, do you want to talk about tight end, even though the strategy really doesn't change much for tight end?
No, tight end, I mean, tight end is about as similar to, I'd say, normal, quote-unquote, fantasy snake drafting than any other position. I mean, you want to treat tight end like you usually do. If you don't get a top guy, you don't get a Kittle, you don't get a Kelce, definitely wait a bit. But I personally think it makes a lot more sense to wait even longer at tight end and grab guys like – I'd grab like three guys around that 10 to 15 range and like – usually by that standard, one of those guys in the 10 to 15 range will become a top 10 guy. It happens every year at tight end.
Absolutely.
You'll have some sophomore, some rookie, somebody starts getting, I mean, for me last year, it was Will Dissly. Took him. He started, I mean, he got hurt, but he started playing really well. Started, he ended up, I think he was fifth at tight end when he got hurt. So you want to grab some guys like that. And with that, I mean, one of them will usually be suitable week to week. You can't bank on tight ends getting much production outside those top guys, like I just said. I mean, you got Darren Waller who's getting yards, but even him, like, the getting touchdowns out of tight ends is, it's fly by night. You don't know when it's going to happen if it's
completely
not on the
random.
top guys. Exactly.
Even
so
even with the Tom Brady Gronkowski connection, still random.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be a great pick in best ball. I like him in regular fantasy, but again, it's like, that's a big gamble. I mean, he could be a bust. So it's like, I don't know. So, yeah, I definitely think it makes sense to wait at tight end, especially where tight ends are just not that high scoring of a position anyway. I mean, if you even if you have a tight end who has a – you can have a tight end that finished fifth in the position of the week, and that means he got 14 points, where the wide receiver who finished fifth that week probably got like 25 points. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just – it's not a high scoring position. So, especially where we're just trying to rack up overall points, we have so many options, I think tight end is where you can take the hit over any other position here.
I completely agree. And one thing I want to add, just for anybody who hasn't watched the introduction video and they're straight up just watching this video, there's no defense, there's no kicker, so we can completely wipe those out of your player pool if you guys are looking for defenses and kickers. I like that, first of all, because that just throws so much inconsistency to the mix. I wish they would
Absolutely.
Do that with regular DFS formats because, the worst defense can go out and put up 20 points. It never makes any sense. But anyway, I kind of want to bring it all together because that's really all I have, Kevin. And I want to talk about just like an overview of what we talked about, a summary. So we're going into a contest. We're about to draft our team. One major, the best point that we can make to you guys, draft consistent high floor running backs first. Bell cow, high volume in targets and receiving. Target those running backs. Yes, they're very obvious right off the bat. I mean, you look 1 through 10, and there's pretty much every single running back is that type. Avoid all injuries, okay? Try to avoid injuries. Anybody that has a history with injuries, well, they probably still have that history, okay? It's not like they're just going to get better unless they had some major crazy steroid use in the offseason, right? We have next on the list draft wide receivers that are boom, less bust, but more boom later in the round. So you can take your gamble later on in the draft with those boom or bust wide receivers because, again, you're looking for three highest scoring wide receivers throughout the day. And as long as you have three really high scoring wide receivers, that's it. That's all you need, right? You need boom or bust guys like Kevin talked about, Chark, Tyreek Hill, those
100%.
Guys. Those guys that are going to go off that could have any good week, okay? You're not looking for matchups. You're not taking out guys. You're not looking for substitutions. Whatever team you draft is what you're going to end up with, okay? So keep that in mind. Tight ends aren't that valuable. They really aren't. Just make sure you have at least three, right? Because if they do get injured or they're on a bye week, guess what? Next guy up, okay? Tight ends don't have that high of a ceiling unless you're talking about Kelce, but even then, he's still not going to outscore a majority of wide receivers. Not that valuable. And then also, Kevin, QB play, draft, you know, middle to late rounds because there's so many different options at QB. Any one of these guys could be consistent. Any one of these guys could come out and have a good game, especially dependent on matchup. That's another thing, by the way, to consider is looking at a QB's matchup throughout the entire season. Who has the best, who has the easiest schedule? You know, things like that. Kevin, do you have anything to add before we go ahead and wrap up this video?
You know what? I'd like to just give everyone just kind of like it's just a quick look. I'm looking at some of these rounds, just round by rounds in a mock 12 team, and it's just Yeah, it's pretty simple to be honest. I'm looking like round one, get your RB, round two, RB again, round three, maybe even RB again, and then you can start looking at your wide receivers and
Three
then
RBs, I don't hate that.
yeah, three in a row. And then as I'm looking down the line, I mean, then when you get to like maybe pick a quarterback somewhere in there or around the later rounds, and I'm looking like we just talked about tight end. I mean, at round 8 and through like 12, you can pick like Gronk at 8 or even skip him and then start at round 11. You get Hayden Hurst, awesome upside there. Round 12, Austin Hooper, right back to
It's
back. I mean,
funny because even Austin Hooper, I'd be fine with being my primary tight end. I really
absolutely.
would.
Absolutely. I mean, I think he's got a lot of upside on Cleveland.
Sure.
Hayden Hurst on Atlanta is going to be the new Austin Hooper. It's like, it's just, there's so many good options to play with there. And
Yeah.
so I really do think, I think drafting for this is honestly going to be fairly, I think it's going to be less stressful than a regular draft.
And the one thing I want to add before we close, Kevin, is you guys can tell right off the bat if you are drafting with a bunch of noobs. And when there's money on the line, guys, I don't care. I'm taking advantage of those guys. I'm going all in on this strategy. And you guys, if you do this right, this is a very good long-term investment. If you even want to consider 3 months a long-term investment, if you draft right, you enter a $300 sit and go money ball. You can easily turn that into 1500 bucks. I believe that's the first prize for that size of the contest with 12 people. It is going to be a blast, and I cannot wait to dive into some more best ball strategy. By the way, look out for some more videos, guys. If you haven't already, please hit that subscription button, please hit that notification bell, and of course, please smash that like button for our future videos. With all that being said, guys, have a great rest of your day, and let's cash.